You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its Zero Trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zerotrustAI. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the CyberWire's Research Saturday. I'm Dave Bittner, and this is our weekly conversation with researchers and analysts tracking down the threats and vulnerabilities, solving some of the hard problems of protecting ourselves in a rapidly evolving cyberspace. Thanks for joining us.
As you probably know, ChatGPT has made a lot of waves since its release. So we wanted to see what we can do with it, whether it's phishing emails or info stealers, stuff like that. So we wanted to see it for ourselves.
That's Barr Block, threat intelligence researcher at Deep Instinct. We're discussing their research titled ChatGPT and Malware, Making Your Malicious Wishes Come True. So you start off here in your research trying to get ChatGPT to write a keylogger for you. Can we walk through that together? How did you begin?
Well, at the beginning, I just simply asked him, write a keylogger. It refused, and it gave a message that that keylogging is wrong, malware is bad, stuff like that. And then I thought, okay, so I won't ask it for a keylogger. I will just describe to it what I want the program to do, which is keylogging, but without saying the word keylogger. And it worked.
And what was the output that it provided for you?
Well, it provided a keylogger in a Go, and that's the language I asked it to write a keylogger in, that just... a simple program just records keystrokes, saves them to a file. Later on, I asked it to add a function that can send that file using FTP to a remote location, and that's what I did.
And so with your success there, you moved up a level, and you asked it to create some ransomware. Take us through how that worked.
Well, like before, I asked it to write a ransomware. It refused, so I just described what the program should do. I asked him to make a program that iterates over directories and subdirectories, encrypts all the files in these directories, and puts a text file in the directory telling, with a simple message, which later on I changed to a more malicious one. But it just put a simple message in it, and... well, that was it.
Yeah, and it handled the encryption and everything, and
yeah,
and this code ran fine. It did what you asked it to do.
Yeah, well, I had to add two imports, which ChatGPT omitted in purpose, because I think it was in purpose because it wrote me it exactly which imports were missing, so it knew what was needed for the program to run properly. So I just added them, and it ran okay. And it was even able to bypass most of the security products on a VirusTotal.
Yeah, that's a really fascinating part of this story here, is that you took the results that ChatGPT generated and you ran it through VirusTotal. And what happened when you did that? What were the results there?
Well, I think one of the samples, I compiled both P32 and P64 versions. One of the versions got 3 detections, the other got 4 detections. These are very low numbers because there are like 70 vendors on VT, and that's what was detected. I assume that it was because of I used Go, because Go is an uncommon language, and that's why I chose it to begin with. And also the encryption was quite simple. It used AES, which is an encryption that isn't really used these days in ransomwares. So the simplicity and the use of Go are probably the reasons that it got such a low detection rate.
The IT world used to be simpler. You only had to secure and manage environments that you controlled. Then came new technologies and new ways to work. Now, employees, apps, and networks are everywhere. This means poor visibility, security gaps, and added risk. That's why Cloudflare created the first-ever connectivity cloud. Visit cloudflare.com to protect your business everywhere you do business. Now, you mentioned that the code that ChatGPT had provided to you was almost complete, but there were a couple things you had to add there. Can you explain to us exactly what you think is going on there?
Well, I think they omitted these parts by design because they just didn't want to. Maybe somehow I can't be sure of that. They knew that this program may be used for malicious purposes, so they omitted some of the imports by design. And I know they knew exactly which imports were missing because right after ChatGPT provided me with the ransomware code, it added a message that said that to run this program I needed like 2 more imports and said which ones. So it knew exactly what it needed to do. It probably just didn't want to supply a working ransomware.
Yeah, that's fascinating. It's like it's saying, you know, here's the gun that I built you. By the way, you're going to need some gunpowder.
Yeah, something like that.
Now, a point that you all make here is that you can use this to help defend against malware as well. And you set this at generating some Yara rules. What happened there?
I asked ChatGPT to generate Yara rules for specific MITRE techniques. I gave him the technique ID, and it generated a rule. The rule was very general, and it had, if I had used it in an actual environment, it would generate lots of false positives. So obviously, it wasn't a good rule. Then I asked the bot to make it less general, and make it like generate less false positives. Then it was too specific. But the interesting part was that even though it wasn't as really good at writing Yara rules, it was very good in writing programs that can use the technique I provided it with, the MITRE technique, and bypass the rules that it wrote itself.
So is this a matter of just referencing the Yara rules that it created and saying to it, write something that'll bypass the rules that are right above?
Yeah, something like that. But you have to like tell him, use that technique and bypass these rules. And then when I ask it to write a rule that can detect the malware it provided me with, it couldn't do that. It just wrote something very, very generic again and didn't really supply with like a good rule.
It's fascinating to me that it seems as though they've tried to build in some prevention here, but it's relatively easy to work your way around that.
Yeah, it's really quite easy. All you have to do is like rephrase your request. I know it has ChatGPT as like more defenses that are not necessarily cyber related, but just, you know, related to like topics it doesn't want to address to, like everything related to religion and race, things like that. But you can tell it that you can ask it to play a role of another entity, and that entity has to do whatever you tell it to, and then it can do many things that usually ChatGPT won't do.
What's your perception of this as a tool for folks in the business that you're in, you know, doing research and analysis? Is there real value here?
There can be a real value here. As I said before, the YARA rules that I was provided with weren't that good, but maybe with more training or if given more examples, it could generate better results. We can also use it to create malware and try to ourselves to defend against it, not using ChatGPT, because right now it seems that it's not really good at the defensive side of things. And maybe with some more work, this ChatGPT can even be integrated into SIEM systems to provide SOCs and SOC analysts with more information about things that are going on in their networks.
Do you see this as being a tool that could be a time saver for you?
In some aspects, it can. For example, if someone is trying to create a malware to try to bypass its own company securities for pen testing assignments, they can use ChatGPT to do that. They can also use it to try to write basic YARA rules and try to improve them themselves. And of course, like finding examples for malware that you may have a hard time to find by yourself on Viti, on VirusTotal or something. You can just ask, try to make it, write it, and try to see how you can defend against it yourself. So when a real malware like that tries to get into your network, you will be safe.
Our thanks to Barb Locke from Deep Instinct for joining us. The research is titled ChatGPT and Malware, Making Your Malicious Wishes Come True. We'll have a link in the show notes. Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. The CyberWire Research Saturday podcast is a production of N2K Networks, proudly produced in Maryland out of the startup studios of Data Tribe, where they're co-building the next generation of cybersecurity teams and technologies. This episode was produced by Liz Urban and senior producer Jennifer Iben. Our mixer is Elliot Peltzman. Our executive editor is Peter Kilpie, and I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening.